We are continuing our series, Home Improvement, and this morning we're looking at what's in your family room. And we've got two scripture verses. The first is from Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. On wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, these are Moses' words to the children of Israel and also to us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we continue our series on home improvement. This morning, looking at what's in your family room. I thought that it would be good to start with a little humor this morning. There's so much tension and stress out there in our world. But I heard about this preacher whose son was late in his teens, and he hadn't got any direction in life, hadn't decided what he wanted to be. And so the pastor decided what he was going to do was give a little test and watch. And so he got a little table out next to the young man's desk in his bedroom, and he put three items on there. In the first place, he put a Bible, and then he put a silver dollar, and then he put a little pint of whiskey. And he thought to himself, listen, if I'm hiding behind the door and my son comes in and he picks up the Bible, well, then I know he's going to be a preacher like me, and that's pretty good. But if he picks up the silver dollar, then I'll know he's going to be a business person, and that's pretty good too. But if he picks up the pint of whiskey, I know he's going to be a no-good drunk, and that's not good at all. And so the pastor hid behind the doorway, and sooner or later, his teenage son came in, and he saw the Bible, and he put it under his arm, and then he looked down at the silver dollar, and he put that in his pocket, and then he looked at the pint of whiskey, and he opened it and took a slug of that, and the man just thought to himself, oh, my Lord, he's going to be a politician. Oh, don't forget to vote. You got to have a little humor. That was a bipartisan joke, okay, just so you know. All right. Well, to turn to the subject this morning, and the Bible was there, notice. Okay. So we've been looking at home improvement and saying that for a lot of folks, because we're staying at home more due to the pandemic, that a lot of folks have decided that they're going to do a do-it-yourself home improvement project. And we've seen lots of those online. I've done a few myself, and I've seen some of yours on social media. But a few weeks ago, we looked at Check Your Foundation and talked about Jesus sort of challenging us to see if our foundation was storm ready. And we saw that the only true foundation that will withstand the storms of life is when we build our lives on Jesus Christ as the solid rock. And then we looked at the dining room and said, guess who's coming to dinner? That was World Communion Sunday. And we thought about Jesus' parable of the great banquet and how Jesus emphasized that everyone was invited from every race, every place, and especially those who are often outcast, the last, the lonely, the least, the marginalized. And you and I can come before the Lord boldly around his table, but we're also called to invite others, the last, the lonely, and the least, into God's house and around God's table, and we celebrated World Communion Sunday. And then we looked at walls, which are important but often underappreciated, and we talked about the blessings of boundaries, not just in our home but in our lives, and how we need to say no in order to say yes, and what it means to have boundaries in our lives and to have boundaries in our families and in all of our relationships. Last week was my birthday, so Reverend Norm Nellis challenged all of you. Think about Jesus' moment in the synagogue where he challenged the people, and they said, what do you want from us? So I thought that was good. This morning, we're looking at what's in your family room. Now, some of those home improvement projects, I got to get on my Habitat for Humanity hard hat. I love this hard hat, so I don't get to use it often, but I do some projects at home, and maybe like me, you do some measuring, and I've seen online some of you folks have actually, you've torn out the carpeting in your family room and put in hardwood, more than one. Great job, by the way, and I wouldn't mind doing that in my house, so if you feel so inclined and you want to volunteer, you know. Anyway, and then others have put in new carpeting. Some of you have put a fresh coat of paint on your family room. And others have sort of just redecorated. And so you got lots of great things going on. I'm just going to take this off because it does get hot after a while. And the question is, once you're done kind of measuring and repairing and refurbishing and everything, then what do you do from there? Well, I think you enjoy your family room, right? And do some special things. It is, after all, the family room. Now, interestingly enough, I saw some studies, maybe you have too, online, that people even with very large houses and people with small houses all spend about the same amount of time, about 75% or higher, in three rooms, okay? And those three rooms are the kitchen, the bedroom, and the family room. I don't know what in order, but those three rooms, regardless of how many rooms you have. So the family room is really important. Of course, the kitchen is important too. Don't get me wrong, right? So the family room, and I don't know what's in your family room or what's the center of your family room, but how many people have a TV, big screen TV? I got one. It's in the center, not in the center, but you know, it's above the fireplace there. So, and we use it a lot. In fact, we probably use it too much. But I'm being honest, I'm being transparent here. But we should eat, Savannah and I should eat more of our meals around the table, but we are guilty of the dinner in the movie thing. We love dinner in the movie. We don't just watch it, I must tell you. We do talk about whatever's going on, and sometimes it's a real good way to talk about high school and all the drama of high school, but we do love dinner and a movie, and fortunately, we have a lot of similar tastes. So Savannah likes, and I both like comedy. And we both like action adventure, and if it's action and adventure with comedy, we're double down good. So it's fabulous. So I don't know what your favorite movies are, but I know you've got some too. Also in your family room, maybe or nearby, are games. So our games aren't in the family room, but sometimes we have game night. We have them less now that she's late in her teens and a senior in high school, but sometimes we'd watch a movie or we'd just do games. So we like the old board games and card games. So I know if any of you out there still do that. I know we got a lot of Xbox people and whatever the other things are. They're great too. But it's kind of a family engagement thing going on. You might be the book reading type. But the question I have for you too is, because some of you may still have the coffee table in the family room. Anybody out there get the coffee table or ottoman, whatever it is. And on that, you have magazines and books and what have you. But I'm wondering, do you have the family Bible? Okay. So the family Bible, and you can do sort of a test. Now, this is probably old school with the family Bible there, but you can do kind of the dust test. And I think the question for all of us on Bible Sunday is it just there, or are we opening it and doing some things with it? And so I want to challenge us to think about doing three things that I think give us a special blessing this morning. And the first is to read the Bible. Okay, not just leave it on the coffee table in the family room collecting dust, but to open it up and to read it. And I think when we do, there's incredible blessings in that. And so this great promise from Solomon, great person of wisdom, said this: on wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with precious and pleasant riches. You know, people will often ask me, and just sort of, I guess, express some frustration and say, boy, I wish there was more on parenting in the Bible. Anyone ever think about that? Well, I wish there was a book on parenting in the Bible, and they would say, and I think truthfully so, a lot of the people who star in the Bible were not very good parents, and that's really true. I mean, King David was a great king most of the time, but he was frankly a lousy parent, okay? I think of Solomon, who was very wise, but, you know, at least early in his life, he was not the best parent at all. And I think of other people throughout the Bible, Abraham and Sarah, you know, not too bad. We all know some of the, you know, infighting and who's the best kids, and some of they spoiled one kid and not the other kid, right? So, you know, Rebecca, Isaac, and all the drama there. So people will say, where can I find a book on parenting in the Bible? And I will always say, there is a book on parenting in the Bible. And they will say, what is that? And I'll say, Proverbs. Proverbs is a book on parenting. And you know how to know that? Is because throughout the book of Proverbs, you read it, count sometimes how many times it says, listen, my son. listen, my daughter, listen, my child. Over and over and over again, it says, listen, my son. Now then, let me just tell you before you express some frustration there, you cannot read the whole book of Proverbs to your kid in one sitting. That will not work, okay? But along the road of life, you can share some wisdom. Now, it's not like five simple rules. It's more complicated. We all know parenting is more complicated than that. But Moses tells us exactly how to do that. So I want to just listen again to what Moses says. He, of course, says the great command, the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, right? But then he goes on to say, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. As you go along the way of life, a little here and a little there, wisdom and understanding, sharing your faith, sharing your struggles with your kids, and when you do, you will grow together as individuals, but also as a family, your own family of faith. And I think that's so important. And when you do, Moses, in God's words, promises a special blessing. It doesn't mean that everything will always be easy or everything will always go your way. But what it does mean is God will bless you in a very special way. So I challenge all of us to not just have our Bibles on the coffee table, but to open them and to read them. The second thing next to read them is to meditate on the Bible. Now, you might say, what is meditating? You know, do I need to sit in a lotus position? And that's getting hard at certain stages of life. And do I need to, alm or things like that? Nothing against the yoga folks. But listen, meditation is really sort of praying the Bible. It's allowing it to steep into your heart. And not just read it, sort of in a prayerful attitude. And I want to read a couple of promises here from the Bible, incidentally. And the first is from Joshua chapter 1:8. Now, there's lots of promises, but I want you to listen here to what Joshua says, one of the books about victorious living in faith. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written there. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. To meditate on God's word. To meditate on God's word. And then in Psalm 1:1, which is one of the great psalms of the Bible, it says this: blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all they do, they prosper. What a great promise to meditate. Well, there's not one way to meditate. And for some folks, I just suggest that when you're maybe having your morning devotions or evening devotions, that you sort of find that special verse in there and just sort of meditate on it, to repeat it and ask the Holy Spirit to make it real in your heart and life and to make those promises real in your life. To other people, you might have a special verse that you just know, and maybe you go out here on Lisa's trail, and you walk and you enjoy the beautiful fall colors, and you just, you know, meditate on that scripture. For others, it might be driving. Now, please keep your eyes open, but I enjoy taking a drive and just enjoying the fall colors, and just sort of now and then say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And there's other promises that are really important to me. Sometimes I've been going through a difficult chapter in my life, and I usually call, my mom is one of the people that I call, and we talk, and one thing that she shared with me early on was she would say that, you know, sometimes when I'm going through a difficult time, what I do is at night when I can't sleep, I just put my Bible on the bed next to me, and if I wake up and I'm worried, I'm stressed, I just put my hand on the Bible and claim God's promises in my life, and it gives me great peace and great strength. Or sometimes I might just open the Bible and to a favorite promise, and then I'll just, even just while it's dark, not turn the light on, but just sort of claim that promise for me. I found that to be something that gives me great peace and strength in my life as well when I'm going through a difficult time in life, or maybe you're just sort of, you know, looking for guidance in life. And so when you meditate on the Bible, I think you find a peace and a strength that you would not otherwise. And so I challenge you in your life to not only read the Bible, but also to meditate on the Bible. And I think when you do, you'll be like that image of the tree planted by the waters. That grows and grows and grows through all the seasons of life, and you will find God's special blessing and prosperity there. The third thing and the final thing is not only to read the Bible and to meditate on the Bible, but also to study the Bible. And I want to read what Paul writes to Timothy, and this is probably Paul's final letter. He's in prison awaiting what will probably be his execution after his trial, and indeed was, and he is trying to share some of his wisdom with young Timothy, whom he's mentored along the way in life. And this is what Paul tells Timothy: study to show yourself approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. Now, to be approved there isn't like, you know, for God to love you. God already loves you, right? And God offers us forgiveness. But I think what happens there is Paul is telling Timothy a secret to life, that when you study God's word, you find a direction in life that is very, very helpful. And all of us are navigating some storms in life and maybe making decisions that really impact all of our lives. Maybe it's relationships, maybe it's work, maybe it's finances, whatever it is. And we're wondering how to navigate life. And I think as you study God's word and you begin to break it apart, then you have a new direction. Now, it doesn't say exactly which job to take, don't get me wrong. But you begin to sort of study the word and you look at, maybe you break apart some of Paul's writings and promises or Jesus' words, and you begin to sort of meditate and study and break that out. Maybe you're a person that likes to highlight different colors, or you're a person that circles and squares or whatever you do. But as you study it and you drill down into God's word, it begins to have a more fertile ground. It's like when you break up hard ground, right, and you plant seeds and things grow better. And so I think when we break up scripture and we begin to make it real in our lives and take it apart and apply it to your life, then we find new direction in your life. I don't know if you're a fan of Stephen Covey. Anybody read Stephen Covey's book? He wrote a number of books, but my favorite, probably like yours, is Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And great habits. They're kind of common sense, but they're not commonly applied. So it's great wisdom. But one of the things that Stephen Covey shared throughout his life was he said that the Bible was the most important book in his life. He was a great person of faith. And he said the Bible to him was his moral compass in life, that provided the true north, the direction in his life. Great, isn't it? What is your moral compass? What provides you the true direction in your life? I would suggest that we all rediscover the power of God's word in our life. And when we do, we have a new direction in life. Now, I want you to notice from the Psalm 119, right, that we just read part of it there, which has that great song, "Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet." When we discover that, then we discover direction in life. Now, here's something interesting about Psalm 119, and you may already know that, which is this. It actually goes through the ABCs of the Hebrew alphabet, which is fairly close to ours, not too far away, but it goes through the ABCs, and for every letter of the alphabet, it has something new about God's word to meditate on and to give us direction and wisdom for our life. Now, I know that's hard to read all that psalm in one day, and certainly for our kids. But I challenge you to read Psalm 119 and discover all the facets of God's word. But it always comes back to this: thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Direction. The psalmist knew through all the vicissitudes of life, through the hills and valleys, the dark times, the light times, that God's word can give us direction in life. And so I challenge all of us on a day that is Bible Sunday, that we give out these great books to our fourth graders and we pray over them. But I challenge all of us to rediscover the value of God's word and the power of God's word. So don't just leave it on the coffee table, but go ahead and open it up. Read it, all right? Then meditate on it. And just pray it, allow it to seep into your heart and life and find new peace and new strength. And then study it some. You don't need to know all the answers to life. I've studied a long time. I don't know all the answers to it, but I can tell you what. I have a lot more direction when I read God's word, and I try to impart that to my daughter as well as we navigate the course of life. I'll close with one final thought, a true story that I love. And the story is this, that back, I believe it was in the 1920s, there was a mechanic working in a garage on the main street in town. And he was working on a Model A Ford on the carburetor, and he could not get the Model A to run. And so try as he would, he kept fooling with that carburetor, and the mechanic could not get the car to run. And so he looked up, and there was this brand new Model A that pulled in right in front of his shop. And he looked up, and there was a man in a nice three-piece suit that came walking out of that car and paused on the sidewalk as he watched him fool with that carburetor. And after a little while, that man in the three-piece suit walked up to the mechanic and said, "Listen, I believe if you turn that carburetor a little to the right, you'll find that that'll start right up." And the mechanic thought to himself, what does a guy in a three-piece suit know about a carburetor on a Model A Ford? But he didn't know what else to do, and so he turned the carburetor a little to the right and got in, and it started right up. And he couldn't believe it, so he turned it off, and he walked up to the guy in the three-piece suit and said, "What do you know about a Model A carburetor with you wearing a three-piece suit?" And the man said, "My name is Henry Ford, and I designed the Model A. And I know how it ought to work, and I know what you need to do in order to make it work." And that's pretty amazing, because I think in our own lives, sometimes we wonder, how do I know how to make my life work the way it's supposed to? And I would suggest, just as Henry Ford was the creator of the Model A Ford, that God is our creator. He made us. He has a plan and purpose for our life. And if you want to know more about the manual for living and the operator's manual for our life, it's right here. It's God's word. It's not always easy to discern. It takes some time. It takes some prayer. It takes some leading by the Holy Spirit and some study with friends and family and God's house and God's family of faith. But if you read it, you'll find there's a great blessing there. And if you meditate on it, you will find some peace and strength that you would not otherwise know. And if you study it, you'll find a greater direction for your life. And I challenge all of us to do exactly that. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about some stormy times all around us, we know that we do need some help navigating the storms of life, and we need more wisdom for living. So thank you for your word. It is indeed a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. So help us to rediscover the Bible, your word. Help us to read it, help us to meditate on it, and help us to study it through Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, amen.